مالك يوم الدين يا رب العالمين، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بسيدنا ومولانا أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام، وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره بين يدي الإمام المنصور المؤيد المهدي من آل محمد. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، where are my brothers who took the right path and trod in rightness? Where is Ammar? Where is Ibn Tayyihan? Where is the Shahadatain? Where are the likes of them and those amongst my comrades who pledged themselves to death and had their heads severed and sent towards the enemy? O my brothers who recited the Quran and used to strengthen it, and those who used to reflect on its obligations and fulfill it, and those who revived the Sunnah and destroyed the innovations, where are those who came towards the call of jihad, responded to it and to their leader, and followed him? The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A second even louder salawat in honor of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Allahumma salli. A third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Sermon 182 of Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam discusses his brethren of purity, his best friends, his comrades, his backbones, his pillars, the ones who he missed after they had passed away. Each and every one of us knows that in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam discusses his brethren and he discusses his adversaries. He discusses his friends and he discusses his enemies. And without a doubt, when you look at some of the personalities that are mentioned, it highlights how Imam Ali alayhi salam viewed his leadership in the context of the fact that the Muslims were all one team. He wasn't someone who said that I should get the glory for myself. Rather, he was someone who was saying that what we achieved as Muslims is not solely down to me. If I didn't have companions who were loyal to me, companions who were ready to be there and stick their neck out on the line for me, companions who were going to be there and always stand up for me in my times of hardship, then none of you would have known who I was. The reality is that a lot of Imam Ali alayhi salam's success came because of the great companions that he had in his life. If you look at his life, you'll see that some of those companions he outlived, they died before him. So people like Salman al-Farsi or Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, these are companions who died before Imam Ali alayhi salam. Some of the companions were those who outlived Imam Ali alayhi salam. So the likes of Hujr bin Adi, or Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i, or Sa'sa'a bin Sawhan, or the likes of Al-Asbagh bin Nubata, Kumail bin Ziyad. These were companions who outlived Imam Ali alayhi salam. But what Imam Ali does in Nahj al-Balagha, in his sermons and his letters, is he highlights to us that without a doubt, we should always look for good companions in our life, but we should also have a checklist of what makes a bad companion in life. If you ask anyone today, according to Islam, what is a good friend in Islamic terminology? One of the best places that defines a good friend is Nahj al-Balagha. Nahj al-Balagha has a number of discussions where Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about good friends. Why? Because he saw the growth of Islam. When seeing the growth of Islam, he saw that there were certain people in the growth of Islam who were people who were there loyal to the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family. There were those who said, we are your best friends. There are those who said, we will always be there behind your back and in front of you. Because you can have two types of friend. One who could stab you in the back and one who stabs you in the front. The one who stabs me in the back is someone I worry about. Imam Ali alayhi salam in his lifetime, he saw that there were those who stabbed the Prophet in his back. In public, they were saying that we are the most loyal to him. Then he saw those who were there, always ready to defend the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. Likewise, in our life, how do I determine who's a good friend and who's not? As in, I may have a lot of friends on my WhatsApp, a lot of friends on my Insta, because the psychology of all of us today is the more friends I have, the more popular I am. I ask all of you, in reality, how many of those friends are ones who you could honestly say you're comfortable in their company, they're trustworthy, they're loyal, they won't stab you in the back, they're not two-faced, they'll be there for you when you're in trouble? How many would you be able to name on your social media today? In the social media world, it's truly one of the fakest worlds you'll ever see. You'll see people out there who show that they have so many friends, and they show they have so many followers, and yet the same person who you see with that, in reality, in their personal life, maybe someone nobody really likes at all. How would you then determine who's a good friend, who's not? How do I know if my friend circle is one that is improving my character, or is it one that's destroying my character? The beautiful thing about friendship and brotherhood in Nahj al-Balagha is that Mawla shows us something. You have friends who are going to be there with you from childhood. But you also could recycle friends. Sometimes someone who's my friend in childhood, I may have a best friend today who I never knew in my teenage years. Sometimes I may have a friend from childhood who is still a best friend until today. Sometimes I may have a friend who's not ma'soom. At the end of the day, they're good people, but they may make mistakes. In the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, you found that Mawla opens up about friendship on a number of occasions. The good friend, the bad friend, the unloyal friend, the loyal friend, The one who put his neck on the line for Mawla. The one who stabbed Mawla in the back. Because if you look at the list of the ones he believes stabbed him in the back, Muawiyah he mentions as a backstabber. Amr ibn al-As, backstabber. Talha, backstabber. His own cousin Zubair, backstabber. Others, he saw them as backstabbers. But then in Nahj al-Balagha, in this sermon, he turns it on its head. This sermon was a sermon that he delivers after the Battle of Siffin. After the Battle of Siffin, Mawla gives this sermon where one of the only times in Nahj al-Balagha, he mentions friends by name. In Nahj al-Balagha, normally, Mawla talks very general. But in this sermon in Nahj al-Balagha, Mawla is an intense state of grief. Why? I ask all of you here, have you ever lost a best friend? Or have you ever lost someone you grew up with? There's this period of grief that you can't overcome their loss. In Siffin, there were over 50,000 people who had died. Yet there were certain names in this sermon, Mawla wished that they were still alive. Because those were friends that you could call my friend, but from a different month. My friend, but from the same family. My friend, who's virtually like my brother. Therefore tonight, let us examine and have an understanding of the greatest friends and the brethren of purity that surrounded Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, and how he looks at all of this in Nahj al-Balagha. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, which type of friends does Mawla tell us to beware of in Nahj al-Balagha? And how could they be in our phone book tonight? Number two, how does Mawla begin talking about his best friends? Number three, why does he mention Ammar bin Yasir? Number four, who's Ibn Tayyihan? Number five, who's Dhul Shahadatain? Why does he stress on these three personalities in particular? Number six, how does the Imam highlight the traits of those brethren of his? Number seven, if those were people who were at Badr and they died alongside Imam Ali, can I say radiyallahu anhum for one side and radiyallahu anhum for the other? Further than that, how does Mawla elucidate on other friends that he had on his life, and how should we ponder on those advices? And finally, on a night like this in his house in Kufa, which of his companions were the ones surrounding his holy body before he passed away? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. In Nahj al-Balagha, Mawla on a number of occasions talks about the type of friends you should have. Why? Because in his own experiences, he had seen a number of different types of friends. In one particular advice he gives to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, he tells him, beware of four types of friends. Which ones? This is a lesson for all of us. All of us here in this hall have four types of friends we should beware of according to Imam Ali in Nahj al-Balagha. The first of them, he says, is who? Beware of the fool. You may have a friend of yours who makes stupid decisions. That fool who's alongside you, who may indeed make you laugh, but one day will also make you cry. When you look at the fool, Mawla says the first type of friend to beware of is the fool. Why beware of the fool? Because that fool, in intending to help you, may end up harming you. Yes? How many times have you had that fool sitting next to you who's got you in severe trouble for the most stupid reason? Yes? You have that friend, and that friend's a nice guy with many positive attributes, but they can be a bit dopey sometimes. Sometimes they doze off at a time you really don't need them to doze off. You need that person to keep a secret, and they're like, don't worry, I won't tell anyone. He's told half of the community. That person may even be someone with a good heart. A fool doesn't necessarily mean he has a bad heart, but sometimes his wisdom is very low. And therefore, that person will not know what to say, how to say it, in which gathering to say it. Mawla says the first type of friend to beware of is the fool. They'll try and help you, they may end up harming you. Second type of friend to beware of is who? Second type of friend to beware of is the sinner. The one who finds doing haram easy. He'll sell you without caring. No, very true. If you have a friend, and I've always said this, if you have a friend who doesn't pray salah, wait for the day he'll stab you in the back. Someone says, what do you mean? But he loves Ahlul Bayt. Put love of Ahlul Bayt on the side. If he cannot say thank you to Allah 5 times a day, 5 minutes a day, that guy will sell you for cheap. Because if he doesn't worry about the Creator, how is he going to worry about you as the creation? The second type of person, as a friend to beware of, Mawla reminds us is who? Beware of the sinner, the one who doesn't mind doing haram, blatantly does haram, still comes mosque. 19th, 21st, 23rd, they're there. Don't worry. Muharram, Ashura day, they're there. But you want to enjoy a good haram time with them, they're there as well. You want to have haram with them, no problem. Mawla says, beware of that person. Because that person will sell you. That's number two. Number three, beware of who? Beware of the miser. That miser can be someone who does what? That miser may be someone who's of no use to you whatsoever. And sometimes you may be with someone who's a miser, who's stingy. That person, you end up taking all the bill. They never pay for one bill in their life. Yes? You've seen the one who sweats when the bill comes? Beware of the miser, the Scrooge, the Bakhil. Sometimes that type of person, just beware of them. Because that person, he acts bad in this world. And he loses in the hereafter. So you see, Mawla tells us that when you have a group of friends, beware of the one who's a sinful one. Beware of the one who is what? Who's foolish. Beware of the one who is a what? Who's miser. Beware of the one who's envious. You may have a friend of yours who may be very envious. You've always seen that type of friend. Whenever you're doing something well, has to find a fault in what you're doing. True? You're doing something good. He's your friend. I buy a new car. I buy it in white. He says, it's nice, but I think black is better. So why don't you say, mashallah? I may buy a new house. Good road. But the other one was better. They can never say anything except there's a twist in the comment. When Mawla therefore told us, beware, beware, it's because Mawla was telling us that in my own lifetime, I have had people who have been around us that I learned these lessons from. But I also had some of the best friends any man can ever have. Where does he mention this? Sermon 182, Nahj al-Balagha. What does he say? Listen to the cry of grief from Mawla. Where are my brothers who took the right path and they trod on the truth, on the trod on righteousness? He then mentions their name. The first name he mentions in terms of his best friends, he says, where is Ammar? And you knew I was going to say Ammar anyway. Where is Ammar? The first name in Nahj al-Balagha, who Mawla mentions is who? He says, where is Ammar? Why Ammar? Because Mawla and Ammar bin Yasir were best friends from a young age. Young age, both of them were there alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. From the young age, Ammar's father, Yasir, and his mother, Sumayya, had been there alongside the Prophet. Ammar, Imam Ali, Sumayya, Yasir, others were the first who had stood alongside the Prophet. Ammar had been there with Imam Ali from a young age. Ammar had been there to defend the religion of Islam. Although Ammar himself was at least 20 odd years older than Mawla. But still they had a relationship where age made no difference. In those early days in Islam, they saw the harassment in Mecca. They saw the trouble in Mecca. They saw the difficulties of Mecca. Ammar saw his mother tortured in front of him and killed. He saw his father Yasir tortured in front of him and killed. They then done hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. They saw all the early years. Then at Badr, they were together with one another. In the battle of Badr, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib one side, Ammar ibn Yasir the other. At Uhud together, at Khandaq together, at Khaybar together. But more importantly than anything, Ammar was loyal to Imam Ali alayhi salam when others left Mawla. Listen to what Mawla says. Mawla says, you want to know a real friend? Then 3 times they protect you. The first time is in adversity, when you're in difficulty. The first time is in adversity, is when your friend will protect you. If I'm your friend, and I've seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi on the day of Ghadir, say, من كنت مولا فاد علي مولا. I've seen Rasulullah say, علي مع الحق والحق مع علي. I've seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi say, علي is to me, like Harun was to Musa. When I see all of this, first thing, Mawla's not my friend. First thing, that's my imam. Secondly, but that's my boy as well. That's my friend. We went through thick and thin for the religion of Islam. So Ammar bin Yasir, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died, remained loyal to Mawla while others left Mawla. Who remained loyal alongside him? In reality, there was only a handful, because many times people ask the question, why didn't Mawla fight those people who took his leadership? And the reply comes from Mawla himself. When his companions or so-called friends, friends are many on Facebook. When you're in trouble, no one calls you. On Instagram, friends are many. But when you're in trouble, none of them know you. Only when you're being praised, everybody's your best friend. And when you're being attacked, no one wants anything to do with you. Mawla, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Mawla had all of these people come up to him. How many? About 300 of them. They came to him. They said, we're loyal to you. Whatever you want, we'll fight alongside you. Mawla turned around. He said, very well. Tomorrow morning, all of you come home. Saqifah has happened. Come home, shave your heads. Come with your head shaved. That's all I want from you. Turn up tomorrow, head shaved. They turned up the next day. How many of them? 300 have come and said we're your friends. How many turned up? You think everybody who smiles with you is your friend? Sometimes the one smiling with you is the one who forwards messages in groups against you. Mawla had 300 people come up to him. And they were all saying, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, amazing, the best, nice, hi. 300 of them. How many actually stood with Mawla? 5 shaved their heads. Salman, Abu Dhar, Miqdad, Ammar. Amongst the fifth opinion, they say either Hudhayfa al-Yaman or Zubair. They came, 5 of them. They all used to have hair. They had shaved their heads. They said, us 5 are here for you. What do you want us to do? And that's where the famous line comes, that if I had, some say 30, or if I had 40 loyal friends. How many? Amir al-Mu'mineen. Thousands at Ghadir saw him. This is a lesson in life. Anyone could stab you in the back. Don't worry about how nice their smile is in life. Because if Mawla could be stabbed, we all could be stabbed in the back. How many turned up to Amir al-Mu'mineen? Look at how many turned up. Of those who turned up was Ammar bin Yasir. Ammar turned up. He said, Mawla, I'm with you. And when he said, I'm with you, he remained loyal to Amir al-Mu'mineen all the way till where? Get to the Battle of Jamal. Mawla says, I'm not going to allow my imam, and who's my friend, not just my imam, I will never allow people to fight him. He stood with Imam Ali at the Battle of Jamal. When Mawla said this sermon, Ammar had been killed at Safin. How did he die in Safin? Ammar, Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Khaybar, all these battles. Ammar, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Do you know at the Battle of Safin? Do you know how many Sahaba were there who were at Badr? Maybe 80 people who were at Badr were at Safin. Others say about 25 were on the side of Mawla. They were there on the Battle of Safin alongside Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. I ask you, when someone says to you that I have to respect all the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, logically, how does that make sense at Safin? How? If there are companions killing each other, how do I respect all of them at Safin? You tell me. I want to know aql-wise. When there are people who have raised swords against each other, who are at Badr, who are at Uhud, who pledged at the Bay'ah at Ridwan, how do I respect all of these people when they are fighting each other in a battle. When you come to me as a Shi'i and you say to me, you Shi'a, do not respect the companions of the Prophet. I say, Baba, I would have loved it if they respected themselves first. If they respected themselves, I would have loved it. Now someone says, but then on that day, who was right? The Prophet had made it clear to me. Ali is with the truth and the truth is with Ali. Simple. The reason Ammar was with Imam Ali was, number one, that's my Imam. Number two, I've seen his loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, I'm his friend. Do you know Ammar bin Yasir at Safin? How old was he? He wasn't too old, only in his 90s. In his 90s. And he was more brave in his 90s than some of Muawiyah's army. In Muawiyah's army, I mentioned to you a few nights ago, Mr. Pants Down, yes? That's the type of bravery you had on that side. Ammar bin Yasir, he came out on that battle that day. There was a light shining from his face. He said, we've waited for this day. He said, do you know if they chase me to Bahrain or they chase me to Persia, I have no problem standing in front of them. I'll fight them even if it means I plunge myself into the sea. Because we fought them in the revelation of the Quran, meaning his dad. His dad, we fought in the revelation of the Quran, and we will fight them in the interpretation of the Quran. We are on the truth, and they are on falsehood. Not we are all radiyallahu anna. We are on the truth, they are on falsehood, and we are with the rightly guided chosen Imam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he said this, he was killed. And while he was dying, what was his last drink? His last drink was some milk. He said, truly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi was right when he said that your last drink, O Ammar, will be milk. I ask you, Ammar bin Yasir, at the age of 90, does he need to defend Ali ibn Abi Talib? If you're a million years old, you need to defend Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib, what he gave the religion of Islam, how dare a person not stand with him? Ammar took the spear that day, and when he took the spear, he went towards the opposition. He didn't say, I'm 18, I'm 26, I'm 34, I'm 2. No, no. In his 90s, he went in the middle of the Battle of Safin, and he gave his life away for Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Therefore, Imam in his sermon, what does he say? He says, where are those brothers of mine? Imagine being called the brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. What an honor. Where are those brothers of mine who took the right path and who trod in rightness? Number one, where is Ammar? Who's number two? Who's number two? I defy anyone in Shi'ism listening to this majlis, irrespective of how many Mawlanas you've listened to. Who's number two? Let's see, because people want to put everybody on the same level. In the sermon, he says, where is Ammar? Where is Ibn Tayyahan? Who's that? Who's that? Who's Ibn Tayyahan? Actually, I'm going to sit here and pause for about 1 minute for this moment of reflection for the Shia world. Where is Ibn Tayyahan? Who's Ibn Tayyahan? Because you've heard majalis in every language. And the elders have this habit of saying that, you know what, these are good for youth. And you've heard many Urdu Mawlanas sit here as well, haven't you? Okay, let's put the challenge out there. Where is Ibn Tayyahan? Who is Ibn Tayyahan? Who is Ibn Tayyahan? Where is Ibn Tayyahan? Ali ibn Abi Talib mentions his name in a khutbah in Nahj al-Balagha. 1400 years later, we have to reflect ourselves, look in the mirror, and ask ourselves a question: that how do we not know one of Ali ibn Abi Talib's best friends? Why is that? Why? Has the minbar failed or what? Because they seem to be good when they want to fight people and spread things about them. So where's Ibn Tayyahan? Who's Ibn Tayyahan? I'll tell you who is. Abu Haytham al-Ansari. It's still not helping, is it? Not everyone's minbar is the same. Let's not get things twisted. Ibn Tayyahan, Abu Haytham al-Ansari. Shall I help more? Malik, Abu Haytham al-Ansari. Is that helping anyone? Malik, Abu Haytham al-Ansari? Still no. It's not even Malik al-Ashtar. No. When Rasulullah was in trouble in Mecca, a man who was one of the chiefs of Medina said, I'll come and help you. The Muslims were only 120, 140. They weren't 50 million. They weren't a billion. They were only 100 odd. When they were 100 odd, a man called Ibn Tayyahan, Abu Haytham al-Ansari, that man, he came to Medina. He said, Ya Rasulullah, us the people of Medina, if Mecca doesn't appreciate you, we will have you. We will look after you. We will make sure we protect you. I will make sure that us and the people of Medina will be the ones who look after you. Okay? That person, he came to Medina with the others. They pledged two pledges to the Prophet. First pledge of Aqaba, everyone focus here. First pledge of Aqaba, and then the second pledge of Aqaba. The second pledge of Aqaba, they had made sure that they told the Prophet, you come over here to Medina, we'll sacrifice our lives for you, Ya Rasulullah. Okay? The leader of the tribes, one of them, there were 12, one of them was Ibn Tayyahan. That man stood alongside Ali ibn Abi Talib in the battle of Badr. They were there standing for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. They made sure that both of them together made sure that the army of Muawiyah's dad, Muawiyah's mom, were not able to penetrate their lines. They were men at a young age. Ali ibn Abi Talib used to look at him, loyal, brave. When Rasulullah died, loyal to Ali ibn Abi Talib, after Saqifah, he stayed with him. Loyal the whole way, at every battle, loyal to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Never left him while others left him. Why? Because the truth leaves you no friends. The truth leaves you no friends. When you say things which are truth, what then happens is people's bubbles are burst. People's ignorance is exposed. And then the friends don't want to be there, because friends like to go with the status quo. Ibn Tayyahan said, if the whole world leaves Ali ibn Abi Talib, I will not leave him. He stayed there, Saffin, front lines, chasing Muawiyah and the others of Muawiyah. None of you will come near Ali ibn Abi Talib while I'm here. He thrust himself in battle from the time of Badr until Saffin. How many years is that? That is over 35 years of friendship with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Not once did he let Mawla down. Even after Saqifah, when things were a bit tough, he still came round. After the initial moment, he remained loyal. Mawla begins to recite his masa'ib. Imagine Amir al-Mu'mineen recites your masa'ib. How honored must you be? I recite masa'ib of Amir al-Mu'mineen and I'm honored. Imagine Mawla does your masibah. Where is Ammar bin Yasir? Where is Ibn Tayyahan? Who's the third one he mentions? Where is the Shahadatain? Who's the Shahadatain? Who could tell me the Shahadatain? Khuzaima bin Thabit al-Ansari. It would have been a cliche majlis had I mentioned the names of companions everybody knows. But there are sometimes friends That what? There are sometimes friends in life that are loyal, that not everybody sees, but they have your back wherever you go. Khuzaymah bin Thabit, what's his name in English? Dhul Shahadatain. He is the man of the two shahadas, the two witnesses. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a horse called Murtajiz. Murtajiz was the horse of the Prophet. The Prophet bought the horse. When he bought the horse, he comes back. When he comes into Medina, the person who sold him says what? He says, you know what? I don't think I received your payment. Now I ask you all a question. Everyone focus on this. If someone today came to you and they said to you, for example, someone has said about a friend of yours who you love, who you adore, who you trust. They say that this guy, I heard he scammed something. What would you do? Surely you would turn around and say, I don't think so. His reputation is very good. Especially if he's a trustworthy person in the community. This Arab came and said, Muhammad bought the horse, but you know what? I don't think he paid me. They came to the companions of the Prophet. They came to the first one of the companions who were there. And they said to him, that there's a claim that the Prophet didn't pay for the horse he bought. You know what he said? He said, I'm not sure, maybe, because I wasn't there to see it. They said, hold on. The Prophet who you follow, there's a claim from this Arab that he never paid. He's like, I'm sorry, Rasulullah, I didn't see whether you paid or no. Second one. They asked him, he said, I wasn't there to see it, so I can't verify. They came to Khuzaymah. Said, Khuzaymah, he said, yes. He said, there's a rumor that this man is saying that the Prophet didn't pay. What's your opinion? He said, 100% he paid. They said to him, what do you mean? You weren't there. He said, I gave my life and my soul to Muhammad's religion. You think I'm going to doubt him about buying a horse? Look at the difference between those who publicly look like they were his best friends. That when push came to shove, what did they say? You never know. You never know. You never know. This man is Sadiq Amin. This man has never once in his life. How dare you say you never know? Khuzaymah bin Thabit came, he said, I have given my soul to the religion of this man. Do you think you come and tell me there's a rumor about him buying a horse, whether he paid or no? I would never doubt him for a moment. Rasulullah said his shahada when he witnesses is true. So they called him Dhul Shahadatain. Imagine, what a title, what an honor. Normally in Islam, if you witness something, you're one witness. Isn't that true? He's the only man, his witnessing is worth two. Because the moment he became, what did he show? What did Ali ibn Abi Talib say? A true friend is in three moments, he says in Nahj al-Balagha. In your hard times, in your absence, that's the second time, your absence. When you're not there, they have your back. That's a true friend. Not in front of you smiling, laughing. Everyone can have a good time with you. Everyone can have lunch and dinner with you. Everyone could say salamu alaykum to you. A true friend, the first in your hard times, Ammar bin Yasir, Abu Malik, Malik ibn Tayyahan. The second in your absence, this Dhul Shahadatain, Khuzaymah bin Thabit, he saw so many people join the first caliph. He joined Imam Ali and stuck loyal to him. There are 12 who are known to have refused after Saqifah to join the party of Saqifah. One of them, Khuzaymah bin Thabit. And that's why Khuzaymah bin Thabit told the first Khalifa. He said, am I Dhul Shahadatain or not? Is my Shahada worth two according to Rasulullah? The first Khalifa said, yes. He said, then I stand witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahlul Bayt are the guidance of faith. Whoever follows them is on the path of truth, and whoever rejects them goes on the path of falsehood. That is a stand of a friend. He could have easily sat at home and said, you know what, I don't want to get involved. Saqifah is a bit sensitive. I'm not sure Ali might be right. They might be right. He said, no. You believe I'm Dhul Shahadatain? Said, yes. He said, so this is my loyalty to Al Muhammad. And you know, to be loyal to Al Muhammad after Saqifah isn't like today. Today we have 300 million people loyal to Al Muhammad. After Saqifah, you were lucky if you had 12 people loyal to Al Muhammad. Therefore, Imam Ali at Jamal, this Dhul Shahadatain, he came forward in the battle. What did he say? He said, I am loyal to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and I'm against all those who fight. And then at Saffin, exactly the same. At Saffin, him, Ibn Tayyahan, Ammar bin Yasir, and another companion, although Mawla does not mention him in this sermon, but Mawla continues the sermon. What does he say? Mawla continues the sermon by saying that, and others who were like them, who's another one who died at Saffin? You guys all know the name. Uwais al-Qarani. You know what's amazing about some of these companions? I'm going to give you this lesson in life. If it's the last lesson I give you in my life, I want you to take this lesson forever. You know what's amazing about companions? Anyone loyal to Ali ibn Abi Talib after Rasulullah died, people don't discuss. They'll discuss him in his life with the Prophet. Say to them, after the Prophet died, what happened to him? Bilal, how big is Bilal? Muadhin, how comes there's not much mention of him after Prophet dies? Salman, why not much mention? Abu Dhar, why not much mention? Uwais al-Qarani, how many times you've heard the story? Uwais couldn't see Rasulullah, his mother didn't let him do. You all know Uwais's story. Uwais al-Qarani died at Saffin, shaheed alongside Ali ibn Abi Talib. Uwais, Khuzaymah, Malik ibn Tayyahan, Ammar bin Yasir, do you know what they all have in common? They were Muslims early in this religion, and although the rest of the Ummah left Ali ibn Abi Talib, they held on to his wilayat. Holding on to the wilaya is here today because of Ali ibn Abi Talib's brethren. If it wasn't for Ammar bin Yasir, and if it wasn't for Khuzaima, and if it wasn't for Ibn Tayyahan, and if it wasn't for Uwais al-Qarani, and if it wasn't for Muhammad bin Abu Bakr, and if it wasn't for Malik al-Ashtar, if it wasn't for these companions, we would never know the wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam. How does Mawla describe them? Listen to this sermon again. I'm going to conclude the sermon in Nahj al-Balagha. Listen to what Mawla says. Where is Ammar? Where is Ibn Tayyahan? Where is Dhul Shahadatain? Where are the likes of them and those from amongst them who pledged themselves to death and had their heads severed and thrown to the enemy? Oh, my brothers, who used to recite the Quran and strengthen it, and they used to reflect on its obligations and fulfill it, and they were the ones who used to revive the Sunnah and destroy the Bid'ah. Look at their relationship with the Quran. If you want to be a companion of the last of the Imams, then follow the example of the companions of the first of the Imams. What do we say about Imam Salah al-Asr wal-Zaman? As-salamu alayka ya sharik al-companion of the Quran. What did Ammar and Ibn Tayyahan and Dhul Shahadatain and Uwais al-Qarani all have in common with each other? Listen to what Ali says. Where are my brothers who used to recite the Quran and strengthen it? Where are my brothers who reflected, not parrots, reflected on its obligations and used to fulfill it? They were the ones who revived the Sunnah and the ones who destroyed the Bid'ah. And most importantly, when they were called to jihad, this is the litmus test. Karbala, how many? How many in Karbala with Imam al-Hussein? Wow. It doesn't matter how many said, we are your friends. 72 turned up, they were the real friends. Why? Listen to what Mawla says. A true friend protects you in three. Number one, adversity. Number two, in your absence. Number three, in your death. Those men could not take Ali ibn Abi Talib dying and they remained alive. You all know the story. You all know the story. When Muawiyah spoke to Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i, what a companion. Hatim al-Ta'i, who we all, even in Urdu, I think they say, if you want to know generosity, look at Hatim al-Ta'i. True? Hatim al-Ta'i's son, Adi. When Muawiyah and others were making fun of him because he lost his eye in battle next to Ali ibn Abi Talib, he lost his eye. How many of us would be ready to lose our necks or our eyes for Ali ibn Abi Talib? I think all of you here will, because all of you are here on the night of the 20th of Ramadan. That shows your love for Amir al-Mu'mineen. 20th of Ramadan and the 12th of Muharram are my favorite two majalis in Shi'ism. People say to me, not Ashura day? Not 21st? No. 21st and Ashura, anyone comes. 20th of Ramadan, Ali's lovers all turn up. You know why? Because they cannot bear that their Mawla is injured on a night like this. Please wait a little. Just give me a little bit before you switch the lights off. Adi ibn Hatim al-Tahi. They said to him, they made fun of him. He had lost his eye defending Mawla. Those were real, real friends. I never forget this story. And Abdullah ibn Zubair looked at him. He said to him, what's wrong with your eye? He knew what's wrong. He said, what's wrong with your eye? Where'd you lose it? Adi said, you want to know where I lost it? He said, yeah, where? He said, chasing your father, Zubair, when he was running away at Jamal. Muawiyah laughed when he heard the answer. Muawiyah said, Abu Tarif, because he had three sons, Tarafa, Tarif, Tarif. He said to him, Abu Tarif, look at you. Your sons are dead. All because of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, no. He said, that's not the issue. Muawiyah said, then what's the issue? He goes, the injustice is I'm alive and Ali is dead. Baba, he said to him, your son's dead. They fought with Ali. He said, no, that's not an injustice. My three boys, they died. That's not an injustice. The injustice is that I'm alive and Ali ibn Abi Talib died. That's the bigger injustice. Hujr ibn Adi, they're about to kill his boy. And as they're about to kill his boy, Muawiyah looks at him. Say, what's your final wish? He said, kill my boy. He said, what do you mean? He said, kill my boy, just kill him. He said, but you as a father have a final wish. You can have it. Kill my boy. Hujr is buried about 25 minutes from Bibi Zainab's haram. Some of you have done ziyarah of Hujr near Bibi Zainab, yeah? He said, kill my boy. They killed this boy. He said, alhamdulillah. He said, what do you mean, alhamdulillah? Your boy has just been beheaded in front of us. He said, alhamdulillah. My boy died loving Ali. I had to see him die. What do you mean? He said, if I died before him, I would not be able to take that I may have died and he would have left Ali's love for Muawiyah. Now I can't wait to die. Now I can't wait to die. Because now I know I raised a boy loving Ali. And that's why on a night like this you should remember your marhumin, the ones who taught you Ali's name. And the only reason they instilled that love in you is because they saw a leader who deserved love with everything that he saw in life. And on a night like this, there were some of his friends who had died at Saffin. You know, Mawla, when he gave this sermon, you know what he had done. This was the sermon of jihad. He wanted to go back to fight Muawiyah. He got killed a couple of days before they were leaving to go. He had told Imam al-Hussein, after this sermon was a few days before Ibn Muljam hit him. In this sermon, it ends, al-jihad, al-jihad, come towards jihad. He told Imam al-Hussein, this was a few days before Ibn Muljam hit him. Mawla said, I'm going to go and finish Muawiyah once and for all. Enough. I will finish everything he has. He told Imam al-Hussein, 10,000 soldiers will be under you. 10,000 soldiers will be under Qais. 10,000 soldiers will be under Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. We go after Muawiyah and finish this now. Couple of days later, Ibn Muljam hit him. Because people think after Nahrawan, Mawla had now left Muawiyah. No, no, no. Mawla, 63 years old, Shahar Ramadan had decided, I'm going to go after Muawiyah and I'm going to finish him. No more peace with this person causing fitna in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Muljam hits him. You know, Ibn Muljam, when he had hit Mawla, he was amazed how he didn't die straight away. Because he had a clean strike. Clean strike should finish him. Either it's the power of Mawla's salah at that moment. You know, sometimes you can be injured but not feel it because of even adrenaline. And they told Mawla, how shall we treat this guy who's just hit you? He said, clothe him with whatever you're wearing. Feed him with what you're eating. And if he's thirsty, quench his thirst. Society will never see Ali ibn Abi Talib again. Which person, if he's even someone slapped you, even if someone slapped you, you will still say, I've got the right, I want to hide, treat him bad, finish high. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, Ibn Muljam, don't let him be scared. Give him water. Clothe him with what you wear. Don't let him be thirsty. Do not let him be hungry. Feed him. Which man has values like that? That's why we love you, Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's why we will never leave your path. People can come and take our necks. We are ready. We don't just say it as lip service. Many of us have given lives away who are lovers of Ahlul Bayt. Many of us have seen sacrifices because of love of Ahlul Bayt. And still, it is never enough. Never enough. We thank our mothers on a night like this for the milk that we drank from them that fed us the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But how difficult it must have been this night for the family. I don't know how many of you in this hall have ever been in a situation where your father, it's his last night. Some of you may have. May Allah not show those of us the difficulty of seeing one's parents in pain in their final night. Because the doctor called Imam al-Hasan over. There were companions, his friends were all there, Imam Ali's friends. Who was there? Kumail bin Ziyad was there. And Al-Asbagh bin Nubata was there. Hujr bin Adi was there. Sa'sa'a bin Sawhan was there. They were all there on that night. That night, one of the most painful nights. Wallah. The doctor called Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. He said to him, I think this is the last night. And he said to him, why? He said to him that if you look at the cut, it's gone penetrated deep into him. You could literally see the flesh under the skull. When you could see that moment, Imam al-Hasan began to cry. Imam al-Hasan, of course, loved his father and mother. Imam al-Hassan was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, because he was the eldest grandson, and the eldest grandchild is always close to the grandfather. But if you want to know pain, I once came across a narration. I rarely recite it in my masa'ib. And the reason I rarely recite it is the first time I came across it, I broke down too much. It says Imam al-Hussein came near his father, and he literally fainted on his chest. You've got this unbelievably intimate conversation between Mawla and Imam al-Hussein, where Mawla actually puts his hand on Imam's heart so that in a way Imam could begin breathing again. Imam al-Hussein had lost breath. Why? Because Imam al-Hussein had lost his mom at a young age. So Mawla was everything to him. And Imam Amir al-Mu'min said, Hussein, you must remain patient now. The companions of Imam Ali, who were there, could not stop crying. Ali ibn Abi Talib is leaving the world. Mawla turned to Imam al-Hassan. He said, let them all go home. They have troubled themselves tonight. As soon as they said that, Hajar got up, Kumail got up, Sa'sa got up, Al-Asbagh got up, they all left. Imam al-Hassan sat next to Imam Ali. The house is full of tears. And then all of a sudden they heard crying. When they heard crying, Imam Ali said, who is that? Imam al-Hassan said, I'll go outside and check. They went outside, they opened the door. Al-Asbagh bin Nubata was sitting by the door. Imam al-Hassan said, Asbagh, what's wrong? He said, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. I want to just stay here. I can't accept that he's in pain. So Imam Ali turned to Imam al-Hassan. He said, let him come in. And Asma came to Imam Ali. He just sat by the bed. Imam Ali looked at him. He said, Asma, don't worry. Jannah awaits us. Asbagh replies with a line, Wallah, it breaks my heart. Every year, 20th Ramadan, I recite. He said, I'm not worried about Jannah. I don't know how I'm going to live in a dunya where you're not present. Allahu Akbar. I ask all of you, what's life worth if Ali ibn Abi Talib is not in it? Does it have any meaning? I ask you all, because the reason you've all come today is because of your love for him. Does life have meaning without Ali ibn Abi Talib? If I say that, Mawla, I've never met you. I've only read about you. How about the one who met him? I ask all of you this one question. If the one who met him could not live a life without him, how about those who were his children? What happened to them on this night? Imam al-Hassan began to cry, and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam began to cry as well. When they both cried, all Mawla did was say, both of you, calm down and do not worry. But when Zainab cried, Allah, Allah, but when Zainab cried, Mawla at that moment broke down himself, Allahu Akbar. When Hassan and Hussein cried, he never broke down, but when Zainab cried, he began to cry as well. Zainab Kulthum, my dears, come near your father. They both came near their father. He began to hug his daughters, knowing one day on Sham Ghariban they would call out, "You come, O Ali, and hug the both of us." He whispered something into the ears of Zainab alayhi salam. On the day of Ashura, when Imam al-Hussein came out, she said, "Hussein, come back to me." "Why? What is it?" "Come back to me. My father, before he died, said to me, Aba Abdullah will be gharib one day. Aba Abdullah will be an Atshan one day." Zainab, remain patient with what you see. I ask you, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, with you, Zainab saw only one cut on your head. She saw Asghar's neck taken from him. With you, she saw one cut on your head. With Abbas, she saw the arms taken. With you, she saw one cut on your head. She saw Hussein's head all over Karbala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. With these tears, let's raise our hands. Ya Allah, all of us tonight, all of you, you are the night 20 of Ramadan people. You are the most loyal to Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is your night. You are the lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Raise your hands. Ya Allah, I ask you, bihaqqi Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, answer our dua, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, tonight we ask you for the shafa'a of Imam Ali, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you in the name of Imam Ali to answer the dua of our children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you in the name of Imam Ali to answer all of our hajat tonight, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you in the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam to allow us to perform the ziyarah of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the surah al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.